Well, you know, I don't have all the answers. The Bible's got all the answers. I don't have all of them. But God's got all the answers. And sometimes people think preachers just kind of give glib answers. And maybe we do. We don't mean to do that. But I want to talk tonight about trusting the Lord. Just trusting the Lord. You know, I'm always saying that. I'm mainly just going to read some scripture to you and hope God make an application. I don't have a big fancy sermon planned. I just know we're supposed to trust the Lord. I don't even know how to do it sometimes, even though I know some things. I know how to do it some just like you do too. But my prayer tonight is God will take this Bible study for the Holy Spirit, apply it to your hearts. Some of you may need it more than others do. Because sometimes we do the best we can and we lay good plans and something happens to thwart those plans. We wonder what's going on. And those are times that are kind of dangerous because the devil could really come in there, make us either cynical or maybe discouraged or lots of things he can do. So that's what I want to read tonight. And I'm going to use it for a theme. I'm mainly going to read the scriptures. I've got a few things I want to say besides that, but the one I want to read first of all is very familiar to all of us. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. I'm just going to read it, maybe comment on it a little bit, and I'm just going to mainly read some scripture what I'm going to do tonight. So my prayer is the Holy Spirit will make an application to these. I still stand by that. I'll stand by it until I die if I'm in the right mind. That may be the thing that defined my ministry that people have heard me say hundreds of times. I still say, God never said understand me, but he said trust me. God is infinite. We know very, very little. We live a very short time. We know very little. Our minds are very limited. God knows everything, ins and outs, motives. He knows it all, and he's always good. And sometimes all we can do is grab a hold of God. And I talked to a brother today who'd gone through a lot of trouble. He said, you know what? I said, you know, sometimes all we can do is grab a hold of God. He said, it gets worse than that. He said, sometimes we can't do anything, just say, God, just grab a hold of me. And that's the truth. I can't even grab a hold of God sometimes. In fact, I kind of reminded my daddy, this had nothing to do with, well, it does have to do with trusting the Lord, too. He had congestive heart failure, which finally killed him. One night he had a horrible spell. I was not home that night. But my sisters were there, my three sisters were there, and he had a horrible spell with his heart, and he was just breathing, didn't know how to get his next breath. And so the ambulance came to get him. And so I asked him later, Dad said, do you do a lot of praying? He said, I didn't have time to pray. He said, I was worrying about getting my next breath. He did a great comfort to me that those girls were praying. My sisters were praying out loud. He couldn't even pray right then. And sometimes we may get to the point, we're so paralyzed by some particular crisis, we just can't even pray. So, but we can trust God. So, the devil doesn't want us to trust the Lord. He wants us to doubt him. We can doubt him in a lot of different ways. We say, well, I know God's good, but I'm such a bad person. He doesn't love me, which that's a lie, the devil. But he tells God's children that all the time. So there's all kinds of ways he works. So let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7 first. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Sometimes we just don't know what's going on. Can't figure him out. Do the best we can. And still, things don't go like we want them to go, like we think they ought to go. And we've been very sincere and faithful in what we've done. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. So what do we do in the meantime while we just don't understand what's happening? In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. That's a positive statement. He said, you acknowledge him in all your ways. That means obeying him, acknowledging who he is, acknowledging his right to be our Lord. Acknowledging he's our creator and sustainer. And all thy ways acknowledge him every day in every way. He shall direct thy paths. And lots of times I think we got to look back and say, he led me by a way I knew not. Most of us have to do that. Sometimes he's leading us where we can't see how in the world. Lord, how can you be leading in this? But then, you know, I'm old enough now, I've got some things like that to happen. Not only in my life, the lives of others I've seen, where people made, just got very disappointed and then realized later that disappointment was a great blessing God gave me. He had a purpose in all that. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And all thou ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So sometimes all we can do is be obedient to God. That's why I sang that song. I wanted to sing it, trust and obey. Sometimes just trust him and obey him. Sometimes that's all we can do and just depend on him. Now let's read some other Psalms. The Psalms are full of this. I just happened to get a smattering because I looked up all the ones today, or at least I didn't look at all of them. I know where they all are. I think it's about 56 times in Psalms that this word is mentioned, trust. And one of them is over in Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. I'll read just a few of these and make some comments about some of them. Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And this is the clause I wanted. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Because a lot of times circumstances would try to keep us from trusting him. And that was the context there is of the enemies of God. He says there that blessed are all that put their trust in him. Now I want to read the entire Psalm 4. It's a short psalm. I want to read Psalm 4. It's a great psalm of comfort and acknowledge and admonition to trust the Lord. Psalm 4, the whole psalm, just a few verses here. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. By the way, this is a good prayer for anybody that needs to trust the Lord and have some problems. I just recommend reading this psalm as a prayer. So remember Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity, seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear my call upon him. This is one of my favorite verses, verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer these sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time their corn and their wine increased. And then look at this last verse about how we can be comforted when we do trust the Lord. I love this verse. Sometimes we have trouble sleeping, maybe because we're worried. This would be a good time to read Psalm 4, which is really a nighttime psalm, the scholars say. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, O Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Isn't that a great verse? You know, sometimes I get a problem and I worry so much I can't even sleep. That's terrible. What I need to do is put it in God's hand. I can't do anything while I'm in bed anyway. I'm helpless, but I can. The devil will probably rob me of my sleep. So we need to put it in God's hand, no matter what the problem may be. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That's a great nighttime psalm. Okay, I'm just going to read a few more. Just a few more. I hope this will be a stimulus to you and a help to you. All right, Psalm 7, verse 1. O Lord, my God, and that Lord there is in the capitals, in the small cap, which means Jehovah, which is the personal name of God. O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Then Psalm chapter 9. I'm going to read two verses. The whole Psalm is a great one, but I'm going to just read these two verses. Chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, there is our Lord again, Jehovah, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I'm going to read that one again. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name, which implies we know something about him, we're thinking about him and his character. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Okay, Psalm 18. This is a great psalm. This is, I'm going to tell you when I first found Psalm 18. I was at Whitehaven Church as a young pastor, and I decided to preach through the Roman letter. I never got through the whole Roman letter, but I got through part of it. This is to show you the value of Bible study. And when Romans 1, there's the expression in chapter 1, I forgot what verse, my God, my God. So when you're studying, you got to look up every scripture, right? So this got me to Psalm 18. Look at the times he uses the word my here, which is a possessive pronoun. I've always loved this psalm since then. Paul says, my God, in Romans. So I guess did some studying. And so I got directed by some study guide to Psalm 18. Let's look at verse 2. This is amazing what all God is to us. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, My God, my strength, you feel weak, my strength, in whom I will trust, that our word trust, my buckler, which is a shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. The Holy Ghost wrote that, and he doesn't write any words in a superfluous manner. He's everything to us, so that's something to concentrate on. Then I got two that I want to read, and I hope we can sing them later. I don't know where I can still sing them or not. We have done it here before. I'll read them to you, and then we'll not read yet, because I'm not through yet. When we get through, I'll try to sing these two if I can. One of them is Psalm 25, verse 2. Psalm 25, 2. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let thy mind's enemies triumph over me. I want us to sing that one a little bit. And then another one is Psalm 20, verse 7. We also say this. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 34. This whole psalm is a great psalm. This is the last verse, I think. This is verse 22. Get this. Pay attention. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That's a promise. We might feel them to be desolate. He said, none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And then Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way. Similar to my first scripture, Proverbs, isn't it? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. Then I've got two here, and I'm going to be through with these. I've got about three more, but two of them I've got a bracket in my notes here on purpose because I thought they deserved special attention. And one of them is Psalm 56. See, I'm not giving you glib answers. I'm not saying we won't have hard times. I'm not saying there won't be time. We won't be just scared to death about circumstances. So that's why the 56:3 is so important. I'm not saying you'll never be afraid. But what time I am afraid, guess what? What time I am afraid, guess what? I will trust in thee. That's powerful, isn't it? Because we're going to be afraid sometimes. We can still trust in him. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And then Psalm 73, the reason I read Psalm 73 is you've got to remember the context. This is the one whose foot had well nigh slipped when he saw the prosperity of the wicked and the troubles of the righteous. Remember that, Asaph? He said, my foot had well nigh slipped until I went to the house of God and understood their end of the wicked. Because sometimes it looks like the wicked are having a heyday. And God's children who try to do what they can right are suffering. And so we could easily get been out of shape, or this psalm would not have been in the Bible. By the way, there are two of them and they're similar. And you can remember 37 and 73, turn the numbers around. Both of them on the same subject. So it's got to be important. None of us are, we're all vulnerable. So that last verse says, though, after he considers that situation, that the wicked sometimes seem to be getting by and they're prospering, but the righteous are suffering, he finally then concludes the matter with that last verse, 73:28. But good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. I may declare all thy works. Let me make a statement about that. He did something, didn't he? He said, I put my trust in the Lord. We've got to consciously do that. It may not be a 1 minute deal. It may not be a 2 minute deal. It may not be a 5 minute deal. Maybe it takes some time. It may be to sit before God in his word and think a little bit and listen to God and quiet our hearts down and say, Lord, I'm going to put my trust, that's an active verb, in thee. And then my last scripture, I'm going to read you some other things besides this, but we can make big mistakes if we don't trust God. We can make hasty decisions and make foolish decisions. So that's why I think that the writer of Proverbs said 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. Get this. We can make some big mistakes if we act out of fear. I've done it. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. All right. Now let me read you something here that I wrote a long time ago, and I'm not going to read you just a little bit of it. What it was, when Tony McAvell died, I immediately wrote an article for the Abundant Life that we used to put out called Lessons from the Life of a Godly Man. And so I'm going to read part of this to you, not much of it, just a little bit. And the part I was getting down here, immediately before the paragraph I'll read to you was about how Tony and Patty got married and how Tony found the Church of Jesus Christ. He was a Roman Catholic boy born in Spain and came to the United States when he was a little boy to New York City. A very devout Catholic, thing he was so devout that when his mother died, when he was really young, he spent lots of money buying candles to keep her from hurting so badly in purgatory. I mean, that's how devout superstitious he was. And then over a course of time, the Lord's blessing and quality of mind, he got out of Roman Catholicism. And then he joined the Air Force. He's a mechanic on a B-17. And meanwhile, back at the ranch house in Arkansas, Sister Patty, a little Arkansas girl, raised dirt poor around Paris, Arkansas. She joined a Pentecostal church when she was a girl. She let her go on Little Baptist. She saw the truth, but she was really devout. I met her uncle or her camp of the baptized. He's a godly fellow. He didn't know the truth much. He's an Armenian, but he still loved the old guy. Anyway, here's she, a little old girl down in Arkansas. Here this guy is. He's a Roman Catholic immigrant. The Lord is leading them, but he's leading you. So you may not think he is, but he is. See, they didn't know he would lead them either. He had plans for them. So after he gets out of the Air Force, he goes to Houston, because on the GI Bill, he could go to school there as a watchmaker. He became an expert watch repairman. So he'd go into school down there. Well, guess what? Sister Patty, to get out of the poverty of Arkansas, she went to Houston because her sister LaRuth lived there. She got a job as a secretary in that watchmaker school. That's how they met. And that's just the short version. I can't tell you the rest of it. But anyway, then I can't do that. I could get all mine on this, but he came to see her in Arkansas. Went to an old Baptist association. Sister Melissa knows where it is. West of Parish Church down there, they used to call that down there, had an association. That's the first experience he ever had with the old Baptist. And here's a Yankee, a New York Yankee, Machiavello, named Mike Machiavello, showed up in Paris, Arkansas. He told me, I said, well, what's your reaction? He said, well, they were the friendly people, but he said, that's the most peculiar people I've ever seen. He thought he was just a bunch of nuts, just good old nuts, ignoramuses. But he kind of liked their friendliness. Well, anyway, then after a course of time, they got married. They came to Memphis, and Patty hadn't joined the Old Baptist Church yet. So they start going to the Old Baptist Church there, Mark Moore, where I was baptized. And so Patty wanted to join one day, and Tony held after they're married. He actually held her back because he thought this doctrine of grace is just a peculiar doctrine. I don't want her mixed up in that. But he recognized the seriousness of holding somebody back. He knew that wasn't right, so he got to studying. He worked downtown in Memphis, so on his lunch hour day, he'd go to the main library down there on Front Street, and he'd go to the religious section and start researching. He started reading Chef Herzog, Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, and other books, spent his time well, and God showed him the doctrine of grace. He fell in love with the doctrine of grace. I mean, I've never seen a man that loved him more. He studied more than most preachers do. His library is still down there, most of it at Patty's house. So they joined the church, and Tony got to study in church history. He ate Hassel history up. He ate the long confession of faith up. He was a Bible scholar. He loved the truth. He loved the truth much. Right before he died, a year or two before he died, he started buying Hassel history to give them to people. So read it. He's trying to hand the heritage down. So anyway, that's the background of this paragraph I'm reading to you. Why does this story relate to you and me? If we're God's children, His hand of providence is on us as well. Tony never did believe this accidental or coincidental. He found his wife in his church. How he spoke of how the Lord had led him. He loves scriptures like Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart divideth his way, the Lord directeth his steps. And the one we just kept reading, I'll read it again. Proverbs 3, 5, 3 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. Christian friends, the Lord is leading his sheep. We need to do the best we can to trust him, to follow him as closely as we can. That's all we got to do. Young people, take heart. I had a heart for young people back then like I got now. And wait on the godly mate that God can bring your way. The God that can get a girl from the foothills of Ozarks. And a man from Spain together for a wonderful godly marriage can also guide your life. Seek his faith diligently. Strive to be as obedient to him as you possibly can. Do not take matters in your own hands, but watch for his hand in your life. I wrote that back in 1997. And then Joe Holder, I read something he said today, and I want this is real succinct, but real good. Get this. The proverbial, you know, you gotta have some kind of a pun, bottom line of Proverbs, urges us to trust God. Get this, trust God more than we trust other people, more than we trust our career, more than we trust anyone or anything else, even self, especially self. You gotta trust God. So I still believe what I always say. God never said to understand me, he said, trust me, we gotta learn to trust him. I gotta learn to trust him more. I wanna learn to cast more of my care upon him and really believe what I preach. I've got a loving God who loves me more than I love myself. He's on the throne. And much as I love my children, he loves me more than I love my own children. I would never do my children harm. Never. I'd always do what I could for them. I don't always have the ability to do so. I don't always have the wisdom to know what to do. But my God's not limited that way. Now, you know the Bible teaches that. You know that, don't you? Don't y'all know that? But we don't always live it, do we? When something happens that kind of scares us, we just kind of get frightened. But we shouldn't do that. We need to learn how to trust him. And what we got to do is keep our eye on him instead of circumstances. Just like Peter, that great lesson that we all know so well, we got to remain reminded of it over and over again. As long as he kept his eye on the Lord, he walked on the water. So he started looking at circumstances, he began to sink. And we do the same thing. We've got to keep our eye on him. So that's a simple lesson, but one I want to give to you tonight. You can bank on that, what I've talked to you about tonight, you can bank on that. He's trustworthy. Y'all know I love the song, Great Thy Faithfulness, because he's faithful. I'm not always faithful. I'm fickle. But God is unchangeable. His mercies fail not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loved the Apostle Paul, right, as much as before Damascus, after Damascus. He hadn't got him born again yet, but he loved him. His love set upon him. He loved him with everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness he drew him. We can bank on that.